Blog Talk Radio.
Good day. My name is Marcus Jarvis. I'm an immigration attorney in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Today, I have a brief show. The topic is becoming a United States citizen and voting, hopefully, in the 2016 presidential elections. There are four ways to become a United States citizen. If you are born in the USA, it's automatic that you're a US citizen. If you are born abroad, let's say in another country, let's say the Netherlands as an example, and by one parent who is a United States citizen, you can get a birth certificate that's described as being birth abroad. The third one is what's called derivative citizenship. And an example is, let's say parents won the diversity lottery as an example, or maybe a sibling filed for one parent, or a parent filed for your parent. And when they got their green cards, you were at a tender age. And also, while you were still on the 18, either parent, either your mom or your dad, became a U.S. citizen, you became grandfathered in as a citizen. So that's what's called derivative citizenship. You don't have to take any testing. It's automatic. At the time your parent, either parent applies for a U.S. passport, they can apply for a passport for you also. And the fourth and final one is what's called naturalization. I believe most immigrants undergo what's called naturalization. Generally speaking, one needs to be a green card holder for about 5 years before he or she can become a United States citizen. Actually, in all these situations, if you have to apply to become a citizen, 3 months before the third or fifth anniversary, you can get in the application to become a United States citizen. So generally speaking, you have got to wait. Yeah, have to have your green card for 5 years. But to every general rule, there are exceptions. For example, if you're an individual got a green card through a spouse, married to a United States citizen spouse, then it's usually 3 years. So 2 years, 9 months, you can put in the petition. The catch with that is that the citizenship spouse has to attend the citizenship interview, the interview for the form N-400. So those are the four ways. Again, birth in the USA, birth abroad by a USA parent, a child who came to the USA at a tender age and is still a tender age on the 18 when either parent became a US citizen, and naturalization. Okay. Also, some exception to the five-year rules are if you're baby and your United States citizen spouse is stationed abroad, you may be able to circumvent the 5 years and become a citizen much sooner than 5 years. Also, if your United States citizen spouse is working for a U.S. company or an affiliate abroad, and that company is providing trade, commerce, or other significant benefit to the U.S. economy, you might be able to become a citizen within 1 year of you getting your green card, your lawful permanent resident card. Also, if you're with a nonprofit organization, there are some exceptions, and it's always wise to contact an immigration attorney who is competent in these matters to help you navigate the immigration maze. Also, if I may point out for the general public that if you have your green card 20 years or more and you're age 50 or older, you can take the citizenship test in your native language, let's say French or Spanish, as the case may be. In other words, you'll have a translator during your citizenship interview questions so that the officer will communicate to the translator in English. That translator communicates to you in your native language. You respond in your native language, and the translator tells the officer what you said. If you're 55 years or older and you have your green card 15 years or more, you can also take the test in your native language. The 2050 rule and the 1555 rule also exempts an individual from taking the reading and writing portion of the test. In addition, if an individual has a medical condition, you might be able to not have to take the test at all. When I say the test, like the reading and the writing and the who is the first president, who, how many state, let's say the longest rivers in North America, you know, who is the governor of your state, who is your congressperson, the House of the Senate or the House of Representatives, you're exempt from that portion of the test. You still have to show that you're a person of good moral character. In other words, you shouldn't have any crimes. You should be an individual who pays his or her taxes. And if you owe taxes, you should make payment arrangements before you become a U.S. citizen. The form that's used to get the medical exemption is called N648. Or again, it's always wise to get a competent immigration attorney to help you in all these matters. It's important to remember that only U.S. citizens should vote in any federal elections in particular, and maybe state elections. From my reading, I know that some localities, anybody from the local area, whether documented or not, green card or citizen, you might be able to vote in your local elections without running afoul of the law. But it's improper to vote in any federal elections if you're not a U.S. citizen. So keep that in mind. You could get deported from the USA for that. You could be deprived of becoming a US citizen. You might not get a green card because of that claim, any sort of claim to be a US citizen. So registering to vote and voting is basically a claim that you're a United States citizen. So you have to be careful of that. I've been talking with a lot of people recently, and I find a need to talk about voting. What every individual needs to realize that voting is a constitutional right. The ability to register and vote is free. There's no cost for that. We're privileged because in Minnesota, on the election day, an individual who otherwise qualifies to vote can register to vote and vote on that day. And there are certain requirements. You might be able to show, like, utility bills that you live at a particular address. You might have people coming and vouching for you. Yes, I know Marcus because, you know, so-and-so, we went to school together, you know. Different requirements. So you keep in mind, in Minnesota, you can register to vote and vote on election day. Also, if you are not going to be in the precinct, let's say you had to travel for business, you might be able to do what's called absentee voting. I believe just about every state has or gives its citizens the opportunity to vote early. Every state has a different requirement. You know, Minnesota, weeks before the general elections, a lot of people like myself would go and vote because, you know, I help out on election day. I've been doing that since 2008. So keep in mind, everybody needs to vote. In Minnesota, it's very easy to vote. You can go online, just Google, where do I register to vote in Minnesota, and you see all the different options. You could go to the DMV and different outfits. So just Google, and you might be able to go to your local library, just different places to vote. But it's important for everybody to vote. I wouldn't go as far as to say who you should vote for. That's improper for me to do. That's how I feel. It's almost preventing somebody practicing his or her religion. And I believe in equality. I believe in due process of law. And I just think that everybody should try to register to vote and vote. And as I say, if you're not going to be in your area in the precinct that day, whether you're helping out with the elections or whatever needs may prevent you from doing voting, you can vote early. You can vote, do what's called absentee voting. My name is Marcus Jarvis. I'm an immigration attorney here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Please give us a call at 763-425-5447 if you think we can help you with any immigration needs. Most of the work we do, we can do work internationally, nationally throughout the USA, and locally here in Minnesota. So give us a call. We do a lot of deportation, help individuals become United States citizens, get them green card, get them TPS, many different forms of relief. Give us a shout. Visit us at m-jlawltd.com and follow me on Twitter at Jarvis Law Firm, the numeral one. And like me on Facebook, Marcus Jarvis or Marcus Jarvis Law Limited. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you. Thank you very much. Bye.